Okay, so if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. And today, the message, of course, you can see there on your inserts or in your bulletins, the resurrection speaks. Now, before I begin, I don't know if you know this or understand it or realize it, but even your pastors, no matter where your church, or if you're from here or another church visiting or whatever, sometimes get tempted. Sometimes we get scared, just like you do. The reason I say that, I knew today was going to be a busy morning. The breakfast, the baptism, the members, all the special music. Matter of fact, I asked for that last song to be added today. They didn't know they were going to do that. And it was tempting for me all this week, even though I had been preparing for the message, to say, you know what, we'll just do something else for the message. It was tempting because in my mind, and actually the temptation that was hitting me was just that, well, we'll just, and I hate to say this, forget the message today, that we'll do something different. Yeah. I thought the Holy Spirit telling me this week, don't you dare, of all days, especially, but any time, do that when you feel God is telling you to preach something. So today we're going to be looking at Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. If I do take a little while today, I can't say that I'm sorry, because I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit work. So if you would, please stand with me as we read Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10 together. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary went out to see the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, because an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear, and they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has been raised from the dead, just as he said he would. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and he's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember, I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to find the disciples to give them the angel's message. Lord Jesus, again, we do praise you and thank you for this day, for your love, your willingness to love us so much, to go to that cross, to follow God the Father's plan for our salvation, to take on that cruel punishment, and then to rise from the dead, to give us our living Lord, our living Savior, to conquer death, to conquer sin, to know that because of what you have done, when we put our faith in you, the promises that we have of life in and through you for eternity. We pray now that you would just open our eyes and open our ears. But most of all, we ask you to open our hearts. Holy Spirit, we ask you just to touch us as we hear your message today. We pray this together. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. ...1,992 years ago, on a Sunday morning, a group of faithful women, in the dark, made their way to a tomb where they believed a cold, breathless body of their teacher, their leader, their friend, where they thought that body of him Jesus was laying. They went there with the same frame of mind that we often go to cemeteries. Their hearts were heavy. They were hurting. They were confused. In a daze from the events that have been taking place for the last several days, from the time that Jesus entered Jerusalem with everybody praising him, to the changing of moods, to the beating that Jesus took, to the crucifixion, confused about everything that had taken place, what had happened to their friend, the one that they had followed for 3.5 years or so now. To say that they are wrestling on how to reconcile themselves to the fact that they were now separated from Jesus, their divine Lord, would be an understatement. They were, as I said, hurting, confused, just like when we go to a cemetery to say goodbye to a loved one. They came with burial spices that they had purchased the night before. Their purpose, going to the tomb, was not to look for a resurrected Jesus. That's not why they were going there. But to finish the embalming process of Jesus' body that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had begun when they placed Jesus' body in that tomb, but had to stop because of the Sabbath. Now one might ask, where were his disciples? Where were the 11 men? Judas, of course, had killed himself by now. Where were his 11 chosen that he had handpicked? Where were they at? Well, men, they were actually in hiding, afraid to come out. When the women reached the sepulcher, their discovery greatly disturbed them. What they saw frightened them. The stone had been rolled away, and they were kind of relieved on that point to a point. And then they saw somebody there, an angel that told them that Jesus had risen from the dead. And then the angel told them to come and look where his body lay. And not that it was still laying there, but where it lay, past tense. And all they saw laying there was just the funeral garments, the burial garments, lying there in the shape where a body once had been. But the body of Jesus was gone. Don't be afraid. I know who you are looking for. Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has been raised from the dead, just as he said would happen. See the place where he was. The angel continued, though, go quickly. Tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Notice the promise of the angels at that point, telling the women to tell the disciples, he's going before you to Galilee, and you will see him. Not that just that he'll be there, but that you will see him. You will get to spend time with him. And we don't have time to go into it all today, but there are several times that Jesus appeared to the disciples and to others, both in Jerusalem and Galilee, then back in Jerusalem and just different places. And today we have to remember that the resurrection still speaks. Just as it has said so many different times through the years, just as the angels proclaimed he had been raised from the dead, the resurrection speaks to us today. But what does the resurrection say to us? As his followers, as his disciples today, what does it say to the post-Christian society, the modern society, people who refuse to accept what the Bible says has taken place, or the truth in God's word. What does the resurrection say in a post-Christian atmosphere like we are living today? The resurrection speaks of a living Lord. The first thing. The resurrection speaks of a living Lord. It was not Christ's death that proved his mission or his messiahship. Now, don't get me wrong. His death had to take place. A sacrifice had to be made for our sins. Just like through the few thousand years before Jesus died on the cross, when the Jewish people would bring their animals on Passover and on the Day of Atonement for the lamb to be sacrificed for sins, and you know, all the sacrifices that took place, a perfect sacrifice had to be made for our sins. But that in itself did not prove who Jesus is. That in itself does not prove his messiahship. If he had not been raised from the dead, his body would have done what any other body does, turn to dust. His body would have done anything that everybody's natural body does. It turns to death, to decay. And we would be walking in spiritual darkness still today. There would be no hope for deliverance from sin and the consequences of sin. There would be nothing but eternal death to look forward to. I mean, think about it. How can we go to a dead Savior? How can we go to a person who claims that he is going to rise from the dead and then doesn't do it, or it's not done or whatever? How can we go to him and ask for forgiveness of sin if it's just his death that took place? Many religions worship dead people or false gods or lifeless idols, and they have no hope, no promise of life. Death could not hold our Lord and Savior. His resurrection was triumph. The resurrection was everything that he claimed to be, the token that his work was accepted by God the Father. He had paid the price. So not only was his resurrection a blessing for us, it was a reward for him for what he's done, for everything that he had followed through with. Christ died, was buried, and arose from the dead. And we have testimony of so many people who witness Jesus. We have so many testimonies of those that saw him. If you were to go through it and try to add up everybody, it's in the hundreds of how many people actually saw him. Now, I realize we have the Gospels and Paul and that, but we have so many people in those stories that tell us that they actually saw Jesus. They saw him. They ate with him. They talked with him. They hugged him because he was among them in a resurrected body. In Acts, Luke testifies, Jesus showed himself alive in many ways in order just to simply prove he was alive. No fact in history is more certain than this. Christ lives. Christ lives. The resurrection validates Christianity. Christianity has grown out of the soil of historical past. It's mystical revelation evades human invention. Ever hear the phrase, you just can't make this stuff up? And usually it's like in a Dateline or something like that, you know, where something is really totally off the wall and somebody says, you know, like Keith Morrison, my wife's favorite one on Dateline, by the way, okay? And he'll say, you just can't make this stuff up. Something that's so outrageous that you just can't make it up. It actually has to happen in order, you know, you just can't, nobody would even think of making this story up. Well, that's what it is with the resurrection of Christ. Christ's whole life was attended or had miraculous things taking place. The disciples did not believe that they would ever see Jesus again when he died. Now, they've been told, but their grief was overtaking them and some other different things. I know they were going through a lot of emotions. But when he died on that cross, they thought, okay, this is the end. The guy that we've been following for 3.5 years is gone. But while Jesus was, his body was still in the grave, something in their hearts and minds started happening. Now, they didn't come to really believe for sure until they saw Jesus. I understand that. But when you look at what was all taking place, you could see the Holy Spirit working on them in those days that Jesus was in the grave. Soon the disciples, after seeing Jesus again and talking to him, and actually understood who he is and that he had risen from the dead. But even at that point, many of them had doubts when they first saw Jesus. The first time, not when Thomas was there, but the first time that they saw him, they had their doubts. Peter, when he first heard that Jesus had been raised from the dead, even after he heard the ladies tell them, an angel told us that Christ had been raised from the dead, he had his doubts. He didn't know what to believe. Excuse me. But then we see later on a different Peter. We see a bold Peter, not one that's putting his foot in his mouth every once in a while, but a bold Peter. We see something taking place in the disciples. Their faith in the reality of the Lord's victory over death to us of a greater significance than any other evidence. What I mean by that is this. When you look at their testimony, what they said happened, and then they were beaten for it, stoned for it, Peter hung upside down on a cross for it, for simply proclaiming Jesus risen from the dead. Would you take and make up a story like that and then not go through what they did if it was a made up story? But if Richard had made up a story that was a lie, and then he was going to be punished for that severely, like the disciples were going to be, and as they did get severely punished, do you think Richard is just going to continue on with that lie if he has a chance to say, oh no, forget it, nope, it's not true, and he would escape the punishment? None of us would do that unless we knew for a fact that it was true. The disciples knew for a fact because they spent time with Jesus. The foundation of the Christian movement is Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and risen in glorious power. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22 says, so you see, just as death came into the world through a man, Adam, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man, Christ. Everyone dies because of all of us are related to Adam, the first man. But all who are related to Christ, the other man, will be given new life. His resurrection validates what we believe. The resurrection guarantees the redemption of the soul. It guarantees the redemption of the soul. The argument that Apostle Paul put forward was this in 1 Corinthians 15:17. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. And you are still under condemnation for your sins. I'm going to read that again. If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. And you are still under condemnation for your sins. If Christ had not risen, then the chief cornerstone of our faith is taken out of Christianity. And the hopes that we have built on Jesus crumbled to the ground. If he had not been raised, if he hasn't been raised. There are a lot of people in so-called Christian denominations who say they worship Christ, but yet don't believe that Christ was raised from the dead. They refuse to believe in that the Father raised him. Family, friends, everybody here today, that is a requirement for salvation. To believe that Christ has been risen from the dead. You can't get salvation without first believing that. Because of the fact you say, well, I believe there's a Jesus, that's not enough to believe that he existed. To believe he simply died is not enough. Because if you're truly going to come to the one who's died for you and ask for salvation, he has to be raised, and you have to believe it in order to truly accept it. I don't say that. The Bible says that. The Bible says when you believe in the one who's died and raised from the dead. The Bible says that. The faith that saves rests solely on the foundation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It rests solely on that. Romans 4:25 says, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised from the dead to make us right with God. The resurrection is the foundation for the hope of life beyond the grave. Our Lord's resurrection is the promise of other resurrections. And it's on this truth of the doctrine of future life, life eternal, however you want to put that, is established. It proclaims with a finality that life here and life beyond the grave are actually one and continuous. It is unbroken by death, even though we still experience the death, but when we have Christ, we go from this life instantly into his life, into the next life. The same Jesus who was taken from the disciples by death was given back to them through his resurrection. When a loved one dies and passes into that silent land, what hope do we have if we are never allowed to see him again? We don't. But because Christ is risen, we have the promise that when we have accepted Christ and our loved one has accepted Christ, we have that promise we will see them again. Amen? We have the promise that there is a day coming for all the loved ones, if we have accepted Christ and they have accepted Christ, we got to get that clear. But when we have that promise, we know that we're going to see them again. I have to admit, this has been hitting me hard this week. As Terry was talking, this is my first holiday without my mom. Maybe that's why I was being tempted not to teach it or preach it. I don't know. I'm sorry I get so emotional. I don't normally do that. That was a joke, people. Okay. But we can be tempted to think, okay, you know what? It's just all over. But when we have Christ as our Savior and our loved ones have Christ as our Savior, don't let Satan bring you down. Yeah, we still have sorrow, obviously, but we have the promise of life. Life with Christ, and because of that life with Christ, life with our loved ones. And the resurrection is a foundation, as I said, with the hope of life beyond the grave. John 11, verses 25 through 26 says, I am, one of the I ams that he says there in John, the resurrection and the life. those who believe in me, even though they die like everyone else, they will live again. They're given eternal life for believing in me and will never perish. Jesus said that at a funeral. Jesus said that after his friend Lazarus had been in the ground for about 4 days. And he was talking to Martha, Lazarus' sister. And he was trying to comfort her. He said, he's going to rise again. And she goes, I believe in the resurrection. And that's a whole story that we'll talk about another time. But she goes, I believe that there's going to be a resurrection, that he will be coming. He said, no, I'm going to raise him up now. Lazarus got resurrected twice. Once went back to here and then resurrected back to heaven when he died. But the promise is this, that for us, that we have a resurrection coming. We read about it in Thessalonians and other places, but we have the promise of life eternal when we put our trust in Christ as our Savior. And then he asked Martha this question, do you believe? It's important that we understand that he was asking her, do you believe that your brother is going to live again? Because we can ask ourselves that question. We need to ask ourselves that question. Do we believe in the resurrection of Christ? Do we believe in the resurrection for those who have belief in Christ? Because that is a foundation of our church. Not just the local church, but the Christian belief to begin with. In closing, the voice of the Holy Spirit still speaks to the followers of the living Lord. Go quickly and tell. Go quickly and tell that he is risen from the dead. That's what the angel told the ladies. And that's what we are told today. Go quickly and share with those what Christ has done. The foundation of the message we proclaim to a world that has lost its way is found in the assurance that we worship and serve a risen, living Savior. Like the early Christians who went everywhere preaching that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day, according to scriptures, that should be our witness as well. Again and again, our hearts need to remember that the resurrection is the assurance of eternal life. It is the only assurance of eternal life. Like all mysteries encompassed in the supernatural power of God, we may not understand it. There's a lot of things about God that I'm still trying to figure out and understand. But you know what? Christ doesn't call us to necessarily understand everything. He simply calls us to what? Embrace and believe. Absolutely. That's what he calls us to do. And that's what's called faith. To embrace and receive his comfort, his peace. No greater joy can come from the heart of a Christian than that sacred moment when an unbeliever confesses and comes to faith in Christ because they got to share with somebody and witness them coming to Christ. I'm going to close with just a story. Thomas Yun, I don't know him, I just know the story, was a devoted follower in China who embraced a lot of a range of traditional religions and just different things in China. One time, though, he got the feeling, and according to his story, he just kind of got the feeling that the religions that he was practicing wasn't enough. He felt lost. He felt empty. So when he got to the United States, he started going to a church, a Christian church. It doesn't matter if it's Baptist or whatever, they just believed in Christianity, believed in Christ. That's what they preached. Each day, every Sunday, Wednesdays, they preach Christ, risen from the dead. And how he could accept Christ as Savior and be promised of the same promises that they had believed. Now, it didn't happen instantly. It didn't happen the first time he went there. It happened over a while of him attending that church. But the more he went, the more Bible studies he went to, finally, one Sunday, he went forward and accepted Christ as his Savior. 3 weeks later, he was baptized. 3 weeks after his baptism, he went through a major heart surgery where things got complicated, didn't go as planned. The pastor went to see him on several different occasions, and every time in his broken Chinese English deal, now that's what the book, how the book puts it, okay? So yeah, he said, "JC with me. JC with me." I don't know, I never quite get if that was supposed to be JC or Jesus, but GC with me. One night the nurse called the pastor and said that Thomas was close to the end. Didn't think he would make it through the night. So naturally the pastor went. As soon as he walked in the room, Thomas, that Chinese false religion believing guy before who had put his faith in Christ, looked at the pastor and said, "I'm going to go see GC tonight." And a smile came over his face. And I'm not saying he died at that instant, but he did pass away that night. But he passed away, he died knowing that as soon as he died, he was going to go be with Christ. And the pastor got to be part of leading him to Christ. And the pastor talks about how, even though he was still sad, but the joy that took place in his life, knowing that this guy that he had now called friend was now had been saved in the promise of his resurrection coming. Sometimes we can get scared to share the gospel. I get it. There's a lot of people that we know that if we went up to them and started talking, they'd probably just turn their backs on us. But what if just that one time they don't, and it's the beginning of a seed being planted? When we see a loved one, a friend, even a total stranger come to know Christ, it's special. Not that we've done the work, but because of what Christ has done in them, working in them, but we get to be part of it. The resurrection still speaks. Still speaks to us as believers in so many different ways. And one of the things that it tells us is don't hold it in. Like the angel said to the ladies, go and tell. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, we do praise you and thank you for this, your word, your message for us today. Lord, we do pray that there is someone here that's never truly believed in your resurrection, that's never truly accepted your salvation, that they would come this morning and ask for your forgiveness, put their faith in what it is that you've done for them, that you are the one who has died, was buried, and has been raised to life. In the promises of our forgiveness and resurrection and life eternal through him. Just speak to our hearts and help us as believers to remember, go and tell. Amen.